Welcome, gracious viewers. Today, we will be visiting the Baha'i House of Worship for the North American continent in Wilmette, Illinois, USA, to be introduced to the Baha'i faith and its great prophet founder, the enlightened master, Baha'u'llah. There are millions of Baha'is living throughout six continents. Mr. Glenn Fulmer is the director of the Office of Communications for the U.S. Baha'i National Center.
This building that we're in right now is one of only seven Baha'i houses of worship around the world. So it's a very unique building, and these seven are considered continental houses of worship. So this is the Baha'i House of Worship for the North American continent. So it's for the whole North America. Then we have a temple in Panama. There's one under construction in Chile, in South America. There's one in Germany, one in India, one in Australia, one in Uganda. So basically one on each continent of the world.
Mr. Fulmer kindly spoke to us about the origins of the Baha'i faith.
The Baha'i faith was born in the mid-19th century in what is now Iran. At that time it was called Persia. It was the Persian Empire. And it was established by an individual. His name was Mirza Hussein Ali, who was from a wealthy family in Iran. His father was a minister in the court of the Shah at that time. And when he was in his 20s, he turned his back on a life of wealth and privilege and devoted himself to serving the poor. And when he was in his late 20s, he announced that he was a messenger of God, that he came bearing a message from God to humanity in this day. And he took the title Baha'u'llah, which means the glory of God in Arabic.
Will you explain the three basic Baha'i doctrines, the unity of God, the unity of religion, and the unity of humankind, and what do these mean?
That's a very concise way of explaining the Baha'i faith. It's through this idea of the three onenesses, the oneness of God, the oneness of religion, and the oneness of humanity. We believe in one all-powerful, all-loving creator that has created humanity and sends divine teachers to guide and educate us. And so that leads to this concept of the oneness of religion. That basically there is only one religion, and the various religions that we know of can be thought of as chapters in the unfoldment of that one religion. And then this idea of the oneness of humanity. I mean, that clearly we're all one human race, and that all our differences of whether it's of race or culture or ethnicity, of class, of educational level, that those are all just things that give a wonderful diversity to the human world. Baha'u'llah said that basically we've reached the point where the oneness of humanity can be really established. He basically said the earth is but one country and mankind its citizens. So that was Baha'u'llah's vision, that we're ready as a human race to establish our oneness at the planetary level.
So when visiting the Baha'i houses of worship, what is a prayer service actually like?
We don't have any priesthood. So we don't have any sermons, we don't have any rituals. So what you're going to experience when you come to a Baha'i temple is usually at least once a day there's a prayer service. And the readers during the prayer service are any members of the community. They can be children, women, men, and it could be anybody that volunteers to come and recite. And so the only thing you're going to hear is the recitation of the Holy Word of God. And so that can be from the Bible, from the Quran, from the Baha'i writings, but there's no other kind of sermonizing or lecturing of any kind. It's only the Word of God.
Unique to the Baha'i faith is the administrative system through which the Baha'i world organizes itself and addresses the concerns of the community.
We do not have any clergy. And the way we organize ourselves is through what we call the administrative order, which is based on elected assemblies. So in every town and city in the world where at least nine Baha'is live, they can form what we call a local spiritual assembly. And if there's more than nine, then they hold an election. And the process of Baha'i elections is really very, very spiritual and very unique, because if you can imagine having elections without candidates, without nominations, without any kind of electioneering, without any kind of promoting yourself. So it's a very spiritual atmosphere where the community will come together, and it happens every year. We re-elect these assemblies in April, actually, during a holy period called Rizwan. The local Baha'i community comes together, and in a very prayerful atmosphere, every individual simply writes the names of the nine individuals in the community, so they have complete freedom of choosing anybody they want. The nine people they feel have those qualities of maturity and attitude of service and all of those qualities that we're looking for, then those are tallied up, and whoever got the most votes serves on the local assembly. And then that same kind of process takes place at the national level.
Instead of holding elections, which are based on competition and power, the Baha'is have successfully employed spiritual principles in their administrative system.
So we have about 180-some national spiritual assemblies all around the world. And then those national assemblies elect our international governing body called the Universal House of Justice, which is also a body of nine members elected in the same way. And they have their seat at the Baha'i World Center in Haifa. And that's where the Baha'i World Center is located. And so it is. It's an incredible system that unifies the whole world in one administrative order. And it decentralizes decision-making down to the grassroots, puts the power right into the communities to make decisions, but it allows us to coordinate things at the global level as well. So it's a great example of how you can have world unity and yet complete freedom and decision-making at the grassroots.
Baha'is also demonstrate exemplary human values in other fields of society, such as education. They also often volunteer their time to serve in the community and to provide humanitarian assistance. The Baha'i World Center in Haifa, Israel, provides a meeting point and volunteer site for Baha'is from all nations.
I think probably one of the highlights of my life as a Baha'i was the period of service that I did at the Baha'i World Center in Haifa. And that's something that we encourage. Everybody has the option of being able to serve at our World Center, and that's where Baha'u'llah is buried. So our most sacred shrine is located there, as well as the seat of the Universal House of Justice, or international governing body. So there's about 700 or 800 Baha'is that come from all over the world, and they do a period of volunteer service. So you can be there for a year or 2 years, or some people are there much longer. And it's really, it's almost like heaven on earth in a way. I mean, it's so beautiful. If you see the photos of the Baha'i shrines in Haifa and in Acca, which is across the bay, and the gardens, and again, having that experience of togetherness with people that come from all over the world to serve there. We have a strong value on education in the Baha'i faith. The idea that the way you can contribute to humanity and to serve humanity is by acquiring a profession, you know, and being able to serve. And you'll find Baha'is that usually either after high school or during their college years, they'll take a year off and they'll go to Africa or South America or right here in the United States and just travel to some community and provide a year of service. And so that's one way that we encourage our young people to keep that orientation of service.
The Baha'is whom we met shared with us what makes the Baha'i faith so special and appealing to them.
I believe in Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah is the prophet and founder of the Baha'i faith. And he brought a set of teachings that will guide people for this time. And so I think that's what's special, because the teachings are just a renewal of the eternal teachings of God that have been brought by various teachers in the past, but they're just right for today.
I think what is really special is that the writings of Baha'u'llah are so wide-ranging that there really is something in there for everyone. People who like poetry will find inspirational work. People who are looking for answers about their own spiritual questions we'll find that. And especially answers to questions, I think that's the important thing. There are 19 months in the Baha'i calendar, and each of the months is named after a quality. And there is actually a month called questions, that questions are a good thing in the Baha'i faith.
To me, being a Baha'i is such a wonderful thing because it feels like I have a global family. It really does. And no matter where you go, you're going to find people that when you meet them, you immediately feel like you've been friends forever and they're part of your family. And when you can have that experience with people that are completely different from you in terms of race, in terms of their cultural background, their economic standing, their social class, that you can meet them and have an experience of unity. You know, you can step into a Baha'i community in Central America or in Africa and feel at home. And so that kind of sense of world citizenship or world unity, I think in the Baha'i community, you really start seeing it in practice.
Baha'is believe that our experiences in this world prepare us for the next world. And the next world is a world of spiritual existence. So it's our purpose in this world to develop our spiritual capacities. And the way Baha'u'llah explains this is he talks about a baby growing in its mother's womb. That baby's developing eyes and ears and taste buds, all of these abilities that it doesn't really need in that womb. But we know if that child's born into this world without those abilities, it's going to have a hard life. In the same way, this world is the womb for us spiritually. And we have to develop love, compassion, justice, truthfulness, all of these wonderful spiritual qualities which will serve us in the next world.
Thank you, noble viewers, for joining us today on a journey through ascetic realms. Please join us again next Sunday, November 14th, for the second and final part of our program featuring the Baha'i Faith. Up next is our noble lineage, after noteworthy news, here on Supreme Master Television. May you be graced with inner harmony and happiness. For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/AJAR.